The third epistle of John will read the whole letter. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I desire that in all things thou shouldst prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoice exceedingly when the brethren came and bore testimony to thy holding fast the truth, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than these things, that I hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully in whatever thou mayst have wrought towards the brethren and the strangers, who have witness of thy love before the assembly, in setting forward home on their journey worthily of God. Thou wilt do well, for the name have they gone forth, taking nothing of those of the nations. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the assembly, for thou Trifus, who loves to have the first place among them, receives us not. For this reason, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works which he does, babbling against us with wicked words, and not content with these, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and those who would he prevents, and cast them out of the assembly. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He that does good is of God. He that does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has witness borne to him by all, and by the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and thou knowest that our witness is true. I had many things to write to thee, but I will not with pen and ink write to thee. But I hope soon to see thee, and we will speak mouth to mouth. Peace be to thee. The friends greet thee. Greet the friends by name. Let us look to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we are in thy presence, and we do pray that the light of thy countenance will shine upon our hearts. We pray that I will remove any veil that may be upon us, that we may behold the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, that we may be transformed by thy word through thy Holy Spirit from glory to glory according to thy image. Our Father, we just commit this time into thy hands and trust thy Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. The second and the third letters of John are very closely related. We know both these letters are written by John the Elder. As we mentioned last time, that John the Elder is none other but the Apostle John, who is now in his advanced age. He is the aged John. He has known the Lord for many, many years. And he is writing this personal letter. Now these two letters, 2 John and the 3 John, they are written approximately about the year 95 to 98 A.D. In the second letter, we have some problem with the receiver of that letter, because we are not sure whether the elect lady is an individual or whether it is representative of a church or the church in general. But so far as 3 John is concerned, we do not have such problem, because this third letter of John is written to Gaius the Beloved. Now we know in the New Testament there are a few Gaius. Because this is a common name. For instance, in Acts chapter 19, we have Gaius, a Macedonian. We remember that during that tumult in Ephesus, how the people took hold of Gaius and Aristarchus and put them into the theater. And then when you come to Acts chapter 20, you'll find there is another Gaius, Gaius and Timothy of Derbe. And they are among those people who travel with Paul to Asia. And then if you read 1 Corinthians, you will find there is another Gaius. He is the host of the Apostle Paul, and not only the host of Apostle Paul, but he is the host of the whole church. And he is among the few whom the Apostle himself baptized. But most likely the Gaius that John the Elder addressed is not any of these three. Now, even though the last Gaius we mentioned, Gaius of Corinth, he is a very hospitable person. And he has the same character as the Gaius in this letter. But we feel that he may not be the same one. Why? Because the Gaius of Corinth is more related to the Apostle Paul. And this Gaius is more related to the Apostle John. And John mentioned in this very letter that he feels extremely glad when his children are walking in truth. So evidently this Gaius must be one of the children of John in faith. And therefore we feel that this must be a very different Gaius. But anyway, we find this Gaius, of whatever city he may be, he is a brother in the Lord, and he is a very hospitable person. And because he loved the Lord, he is loved by God and by the Apostle. Now the Apostle John said, he loves Gaius in truth. Now this love is not the human love, is not that emotional type of love. This love that John has for Gaius is divine love. It is selfless love. And it is a love that is based upon truth. Because we know the Apostle John, he loves the truth. And he loves whoever who walks in the truth. You know, this letter is very, very interesting. Even though it is a very short letter, and yet we find there's so much in this letter. You know, for instance, the second verse in this letter, beloved, I desire that in all things thou shalt prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You know, this is a standard quote for people who preach the gospel of prosperity. We know today there is a gospel that is being preached and is very popular in Christianity, especially in this country. It is prosperity gospel. In other words, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have wealth. God wants you to have health. And God wants you to have everything. Prosperity gospel. And who does not want to be prosperous? And this is a standard quote. But unfortunately, people forget. In quoting this verse, they quote the first part of it and forget the last part of it. In other words, they said, I desire that in all things thou shalt prosper and be in health. Period. instead of seeing that even as your soul prospers. In other words, the reason why the Apostle John wishes that Gaius be prosper in wealth and in health is because his soul is prosperous. Now you dare not pray for a person that God will bless him and make him rich and give him good health if his soul is not prosperous. Why? Because that will be most dangerous. That will lead him into many temptations. And that will also may mean his destruction. But for a soul that is prosperous in the sight of God, then you'll find wealth and health will be of great service to the Lord. Now this man, Gaius, has a prosperous soul. Now what does it mean? It means that he has a soul that is being saved. You know, in the Bible we find the salvation of the soul. Not only our spirit is being saved, our spirit is being saved by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we accept Him as our personal Savior, we are born again. Our spirit is being renewed. That is the salvation of our spirit. But in the Bible we find that salvation is for the whole being. Not only our spirit needs to be saved, but even our soul, our personality, ourselves, this very person needs to be saved. In other words, our mind, our emotion, our volition needs to be renewed so that Christ may be expressed through us. Now, how can a soul be prosperous? How can a soul be saved? A soul can be saved by losing your own self. In other words, you remember our Lord Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He who loves his soul life shall lose it, but he who loses his soul life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, he shall save it to eternity. So, dear brothers and sisters, our soul needs to be saved. Only when our soul is saved, it is prosperous in the sight of God. And the only way to have our soul saved is to lose our soul life. In other words, we are willing to deny ourselves. We are willing to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus so that our soul life will be purified. Christ will reside in our heart, and He will rule in our soul. Therefore, our soul is prosperous. Now, such a person, no doubt, walks in truth. Just like Gaius. Gaius walks in truth because his soul prospers before God. Now, to such a person, it is the prayer of the Apostle John that because his soul prospers before God, therefore may God prosper him in physical things and in health. Why? Because the more God prospers him, the more he will serve God. In other words, to a person whose soul is saved, he does not live for himself anymore. He lives for God. And because of this reason, you'll find one character of this man Gaius is hospitality. He lives a selfless life. He is hospitable to people. He is serving other people. And brothers and sisters, with such a person, I think we can pray for that person that God will prosper him in all things and in health. So with good health, he may serve the Lord more. And with many more resources he may use all for the glory of God. So, brothers and sisters, let us remember God does want us to prosper. But remember, basically, the soul needs to prosper. That is more important than anything else. And with the prosperity of the soul, then may God prosper you in all things and in health. You know, in the old days, there are many believers who travel from city to city for various reasons. Now, some people travel because of business. Other people travel because of visiting maybe relatives or friends, or for many other purposes, just like today. And more than that, in the early days, you find there are many servants of the Lord. God gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and these people are sent by God to visit assembly after assembly in many other places in order to perfect the saints, in order to help the saints. So in the old days, you find there are not only many saints, many believers traveling, but there are many so-called wandering preachers. They are traveling around helping different assemblies. And in those days, you find there are not many good hotels. Things are not only few, but they are very poorly managed. And not only that, the atmosphere in those things are not conducive to Christians. And because of this reason, you find hospitality among the believers is something very necessary and very important. And not only for the sake of lodging these brothers and sisters who are traveling, but it gives a good opportunity for fellowship. When you have people visiting you, whether brothers or sisters or whether servants of the Lord, it's a good opportunity to have fellowship. And through fellowship, people are being built up and are united in one spirit and in one soul. So in the early days, you find hospitality is a big thing. It is a necessary thing, and it is a practice among God's people. Hospitality is one of God's character. When we think of God, our God is most hospitable. Our God is a giving God. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a caring God. Before he created man, he first created other things. So, when man came into the world, you find God had made provisions, every provision for man. And even when man fell into sin, you find God again provided salvation for mankind. You find that our God, he let the sun rise over the good as well as the evil. And he sends rain to the wicked and to the good. Our God is such a generous God. He is so kind, so generous. He is so hospitable. You find this is God's character. You cannot think of God as very stingy, as very selfish. No, you find God is selfless, generous, giving, hospitable. That is God's character. And because this is God's character, you find in the Old Testament time how he commands the children of Israel to be hospitable like he is hospitable. You know, you read the Old Testament. For instance, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 15, you find it, God said, now, let your hand be bountiful to your brethren, to the poor, to the needy, and to the strangers. And in Deuteronomy chapter 16, it says, now when you can go to the feast of the tabernacle, you should include the Levites, the strangers, the widows, the fatherless, and the poor in your city with you. And if you read Deuteronomy chapter 24, you find God again said, now when you are harvesting and you leave some sheaves behind, you cannot go back and pick them up, because these sheaves that you forget to pick up should be left for the strangers, for the widows, and for the fatherless. And when you are shaking the olive trees, you cannot shake it again, because whatever fruits are remain there are for the poor, for the strangers, and for the fatherless. And when you are reaping the grapes, the same thing is true. Whatever is left there, you cannot go back and pick them again, because they are for the strangers, for the poor, and for the fatherless. You find throughout the Old Testament, in God's commandments, in God's statutes and precepts, it is just exhibiting, manifesting the character of God. God's character is such that He is most hospitable. He always thinks of the need of people. He is so selfless, and He wants His people to be like that. Now, when you come to the New Testament, you find in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, it is said, now, be hospitable. And you know, this is a command to all God's children. You know, so far as gift is concerned, different people may have different gift. But so far as grace is concerned, everybody has the same. And hospitality is not only a gift, it is a grace. Here it is said that we need to be hospitable. In other words, we need to think of others. We need to care for others. We need to share with others. Hospitality is fellowship. Hospitality is a practical way of fellowship, sharing with others whatever God has given to us. And if you read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, you find it is said again, let brotherly love abide, be not forgetful of hospitality. For by doing it, you may entertain unaware angels, messengers of God. So it is in the Word of God that we need to be hospitable. Brothers and sisters, if you read Titus chapter 1 or you read 1 Timothy, you'll find one of the qualifications of an elder is hospitality. So this is something that God really desires His people to have, to be hospitable, just like He is hospitable. You know, of course, classical example of hospitality you can find in Genesis chapter 18. You'll find Abraham. At the heat of the day, he was sitting at the door of his tent. And three men suddenly appeared before him. And the Bible says that Abraham ran to meet them and bowed down before them and said, now, Lord, if I shall find favor in your sight, do not just pass by. Let me fetch a little water to wash your feet. Let me bring a morsel of bread to refresh you. And you just rest by the tree. And you'll find the Lord said, all right. And Abraham hurried back and prepared the cake. And not only that, but he even take a cow, a tender and good cow. And he prepared everything and he put before them and he stood by and served them. And after they finished, you know, and during the time of eating, they began to have fellowship. And the Lord said to Abraham, where is Sarah? And God promised Abraham on that very day that Sarah will have a son. And when they finished the feast, the Bible said Abraham conducted them for a distance. In other words, he would not just say, all right, now you go. No, he went along with them for a distance just to send them off. That's hospitality. And because of his doing that, God revealed what he was going to do with Sodom and Gomorrah to Abraham. And Abraham was able to intercede for Lot. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find hospitality is not a burden. Hospitality is a favor. You know, sometimes we think hospitality is a burden. Now, brothers and sisters are coming. What should we do? We have to do something for them. It is as if it is a burden. But no, brothers, you find Abraham saying, if I find favor in your sight. Oh, brothers and sisters, that anyone is willing to be entertained by you, anyone is willing to be helped by you, it is a favor, doing you a favor. We should not consider hospitality as a burden. We should consider hospitality as a great favor from God. And when you are doing that, you do it in such a way as God will do. You do it generously. You do it in such a fashion. You know, Abraham just said, I will bring you a morsel of bread, but he bring the cow. Now that's hospitality. And hospitality is not just now you have finished eating, all right, you can go now. I have other things to do. No, go a distance with him. Send him off. In a royal fashion. Brothers and sisters, that is Christian hospitality. Now remember, hospitality is not sociability. Sociability and hospitality are two different things. Why? Because the very word hospitality in Greek, it is philoxenia. And philo means love. Xenia means a stranger. So hospitality actually means love a stranger. Now, what is sociability? Some people are very social, you know. And because you're very social, you entertain a lot. But whom do you entertain? You entertain people of your own status, of your own peers, people of your own rank. Now, that's not hospitality. Hospitality is love a stranger. Love a stranger. And that is the reason why our Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, when you entertain, do not entertain those rich people, those people who are able to repay you. Now, that is sociability. You know, if you invite someone for a meal, and you expect that someone to invite you back. And that's sociability. But hospitality is different. Hospitality, the Lord said, invite the poor, the blind, the crippled. And that they have no way to repay you. So God will repay you. Now, that is hospitality. Dear brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus is most hospitable. You remember one day he was preaching and these people loved to hear him preach and they were with him for 3 days. They ate up all the food they brought and the disciples came and said, now it is towards evening, send them away so that they could buy food. And the Lord said, no, let us feed them. Let us feed them. The Lord just could not allow people to leave his presence hungry. Oh, how hospitable is our Lord. And you remember that on that night when he will be betrayed, as he was gathering with his own, how he got up, he girded himself with a towel, He poured water in the basin and he washed his disciples' feet. That's hospitable. Our Lord Jesus is most hospitable. And when he sent his disciples to preach the gospel, in Matthew chapter 10, he commanded his 12 disciples to go to the house of Israel. Do not go to the Gentiles, but go to the house of Israel. But as you go to the house of Israel, bring nothing. Do not bring any gold or silver or brass, no scrip, no two body coats, no staff, no sandals. Why? Because a workman is worthy of his work. Whenever you come to any city, just inquire who is a good man, and then you just go and stay with him until you leave. And when you get in, you say, may peace be unto you. And if that man is worthy of the peace, peace will come to that house. If he's not worthy, then peace will return to you. Now, brothers and sisters, why is it so? Because the children of Israel, being God's chosen people, they were commanded to be hospitable. They were supposed to be hospitable. So that's the reason why the Lord said when his disciples went to the house of Israel, they don't need to provide anything for themselves. And at the end of that same chapter, the Lord Jesus said, if anyone receives you, he receives me. And if anyone receives me, he receives the Father. If anyone receives a prophet, he shall receive a prophet's reward. If anyone receives a righteous man, he shall receive the reward of a righteous man. If anyone should give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, in my name, in the name of a disciple, he shall not be unrewarded. But at the same time, the Lord said, expect rejection. Brothers and sisters, in the early days, at that time, they do not have what Christianity today have, the pastor system, the resident pastor. In other words, every church has a pastor residing there, and he will take care of their spiritual need. Now, in the early days, you don't have this kind of system. In the early days, you find when God's people are together, there will be elders who will govern, who will supervise, who will shepherd them. And in some church, like the church in Antioch, there may be prophets and teachers raised up for the local need, for the ministry, but lots of ministries are being done by traveling preachers. Those apostles, those prophets, those evangelists, those pastors and teachers that God gave to the church, they do not reside in one place. They will travel from place to place visiting different assemblies, and there they will minister the word of God to them. So in those early days, you find they go out in the name of the Lord Jesus. They will not accept, they do not accept anything from the Gentiles, from the heathens. And naturally, they will be entertained, they will be helped by the brothers and sisters in various places. Now that is the natural thing to do. And I do believe that as we begin to return to what the Word of God says, as we begin to return to recover to the practice of the early days, you find the need of such thought will increase. In other words, God will send out His servants traveling from place to place in order to help the people of God. And in doing that, hospitality is something that is very necessary. Now, of course, with hospitality, you have problems. Why? Because when people begin to travel around, you know, and the problem is home to receive and home not to receive. Home to entertain and home not to entertain. Now in 2 John, you'll find the Apostle John make it very clear. If anyone should come to you and they do not preach that the Lord Jesus comes in the flesh. In other words, if anyone should come to you and they do not believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God who has come into this world to be a man, to be our Savior, then do not receive him. Not even greet him. Do not receive him in your home. Why? Because if you do that, you will partake in his evil. So you find that in those days, there are people who are like that. You know, in a sense, these servants of the Lord, they are traveling around, and in a sense, they have a special position, a kind of prestige, you know. And when they come to your place, and you receive them and entertain them, and suppose there is an unscrupulous character and a bad character, you know, he can very well take advantage of this hospitality. You know, people can make a very good living out of it. And a very easy and comfortable life. You don't need to work. You just travel from place to place and take the benefit, advantage of the local assembly. And there are, were people, and there are still people doing the same. So that's the one reason why the Apostle John said, now if anyone should come to you and he does not preach that Jesus comes in the flesh, he does not believe that the Son of God has come to be a man, to be our Savior, then do not receive him. You don't need to be hospitable to such a stranger, because if you do, you will be partakers of that evil. In other words, you will be influenced by that evil. And it is because of that you'll find in the early church, they practiced what we call letter of commendation. When brothers and sisters are traveling to strange cities, you know, usually they will give them a letter of recommendation. For instance, Paul. He wrote a letter to the Romans. And in the letter to the Romans, you'll find in chapter 16, actually, he was using that opportunity to recommend Phoebe. And because Phoebe was visiting from Phoenicia, he was visiting Rome on for business reasons. And she didn't know anybody in Rome. So Paul knew some of God's people in Rome, the assembly there. So he wrote a recommendation and said, now this Phoebe, he has been a patroness to me and to lots of people. He has helped lots of people. So if he needs help, give help to her. You know, a letter of recommendation. And not only that, you find that Apollos, you remember that, Apollos, that man of great biblical knowledge, and he came to Ephesus, and he preached Christ, but he only knew the baptism of John. So finally, you'll find that Aquilas and Priscilla, they help him, and Apollos want to go to Corinth. So they wrote a letter of recommendation, recommending him to the brethren in Corinth. And he went to Corinth, received by them, and he greatly helped the people there. And not only that, in 1 Corinthians, you find that how Paul recommends, in 2 Corinthians, he recommends Titus. So you find it is a common practice in the early days. Because of the abuse, therefore, there was a common practice to write a letter of recommendation. But not because of this. Not because there is abuse, therefore we are not hospitable. In other words, in every good thing there will be abuse, but you cannot go by abuse You have to walk in truth. And if anyone shall walk in truth, he is beloved of God. So here you'll find in the third letter, in the second letter, John does with the negative side. You know, if anyone shall come and do not believe that Jesus Christ come in the flesh, in other words, with a false doctrine, then don't receive him. But then in 3 John, he said, he does it in a positive way. He recommends Gaius, because Gaius is hospitable. Now, evidently, John wrote a letter to that church. He said, I wrote to the assembly. Now, evidently, he wrote a letter to that church, probably recommending some brothers who were traveling, preaching the gospel at that time. But, unfortunately, they were not received. But, Gaius, in that church, he walked in truth. He received these brothers. He was hospitable to these brothers. So John wrote this letter to him to recommend him. In other words, to encourage him. You know, in a sense, you find the church did not receive these brothers. But Gaius did. And John encouraged him and said, now, you did what you should do. And you can do more. Not only to receive them, but even to send them onward. Because they do not receive anything from the nations. Hospitality is a virtue. Is a virtue that we all need to have. In other words, it is not a matter of how able you are. It is a matter of love. It is not a matter of how sociable you are. It is a matter of your walking in truth. So, here, in this letter, we see Christ in hospitality. Because when God's people practice hospitality, Christ is being manifested. You do not do it for any other reason. You do it for the love of Christ. You love a stranger because you love Christ. And in doing that, Christ is being manifested. And I do believe that this is something that we need to learn more together. Lord, brothers and sisters, it is not just for a few to practice hospitality. Hospitality must be practiced by all. Not just lodging people. Maybe your house is too small. You cannot lodge people. Now, I remember back in China once, you know, someone came to a certain place and that brother invited that a brother to stay with him, you know. And when the night came, he has only one room, one bed. And when the night came, you know, he asked that brother, you know, to sleep in bed. And so that brother started to sleep. And after in the midnight, he woke up, he heard some noise, snore. And he did not know where the snore came from. And he looked around, and he saw the brother who entertained him sleeping under the bed. He had very little to entertain, but he did his best. And I remember another story about Jane Darby. You know, Jane Darby is a big brother in the brotherly movement. And one day, a poor brother, you know, asked Darby to come and have a meal with them. And Darby consented to do that because Darby is a very humble person. And this brother had nothing to serve him. But his son has a rabbit. You know, so he killed that rabbit. And to entertain that great man, spiritual man, Darby. And so Darby came to the house, you know, and when that rabbit was cooked, and put on the table. Bobby noticed that the son was crying, and he didn't understand. So he tried to talk to that son and discover that that is his pet. So Bobby wouldn't need that. He wouldn't need that. You know, brothers and sisters, I use that as illustrations. You know, it is not just a matter of how able you are. You know, it is a matter of your heart. We need to have the character of God. God's people needs to be hospitable. Now, it is true. There are abuses. That is true. And there are ways, in a sense, to control these abuses. For instance, just like what we have just said, if people come with a strange doctrine, don't receive him. And furthermore, if you read on, you'll find there's another criteria, and that is, you know, to discern, and that is the character of that person. Not only his teaching, but his character needs to be considered. Because, unfortunately, in this world, there are those people who take advantage, you know. So, well, if you read the church history, I don't have time to tell you. There are many funny things, you know, lots of abuses, and sometimes they even make a rule. If any preacher should come to you and stay over 3 days, he is a false prophet. Well, I'm not endorsing that. But anyway, show that there are abuses. That is true. But, as the Lord said, at the end, when lawlessness prevails, will he find love among his people? You know, it is very easy to close our heart. Very easy. But, that is God's character. And God's people needs to be characterized by the character of God. Brothers and sisters, this is fellowship. This is something everybody can do. This is something that is not limited only to a few. And we do look to the Lord that He will stir our hearts up. You know, oftentimes when some strangers come into our midst, and after the meeting is over, we let them go. You do not know whether they will go hungry or not. Where is our sense of hospitality? Brothers and sisters, it is true. In exercising, practicing hospitality, it needs some sacrifice. But our God is a sacrificial God. And He never draws back. He always gives. And He expects us, who has His very life in us, to do the same. Thank God for this. He may be a man of means. He's able to do quite a lot. And because his heart is right, Paul prays that God will prosper him even more so that he can do more for the Lord. Nobody lives for himself or herself. We all live for Christ, for God. But you find in that church there, we do not know what church is it. We find in that church there is another problem. Thank God for Gaius, who is so hospitable. But you find in that church there's a problem, because there's another man called Diotrephes. Now, evidently, Diotrephes probably is one of the elders there. He's one of the leading brothers there. But he is a man of ambition. He is not contented just to be one of the leaders. You know, God has great wisdom. That is the reason why you find in the New Testament, in the Bible, elders are always in plural number. In other words, God always wants collective leadership in the church. Why? Because Christ himself is the head. And no one person can represent him as the head of the church. So it needs a collective eldership to represent him, so that no one man will take charge or take over the church. But you find through church history, like here at the end of the first century, you find there will be people who are very ambitious. Now, do not think that you only find ambitious people in the political world. You find there are more ambitious people in the religious world. And unfortunately, this Diotrephes, he wants to have the first place in the church. In other words, he is an ambitious person. He wants to control the church. He is not contented just to be one of the leaders. But somehow, through his maneuvering, he is able to control and hold the church in his hand. He made the flock of God as his own private property. And he did it in such a way that when John the Apostle wrote a letter to the church recommending some brothers who would be a help to the church, he rejected them. He will not receive the letter. He will not receive these people. And furthermore, he said something slanderous against John and against these brothers. And when other brothers and sisters are willing to receive these people, he forbade them. And not only he forbade them, but if they wanted to receive, he cast them out of the church. We do not know whether that's excommunication or not. Now, people can so abuse authority to excommunicate whoever they are not pleased with. They cast them out. He cast them out. There was such a person in that church. He deprived God's people of the privilege of the ministry of those whom God has sent to them. He is a dictator. Now you have this problem. Now how do you deal with such a problem? We are supposed to be hospitable, walking in truth. But here you find a man who tried to control the church and will not allow this hospitality to be exercised for those who are worthy of it. Now, how are you going to deal with the situation? Number one, John said, when I come, I will deal with him face to face. In other words, it will be a matter of spiritual authority against abuse of authority. When authority is abused, then it can only be dealt with by true spiritual authority. With true spiritual authority, that abuse of authority will be dealt with. Now that's one thing. The other thing is, John said, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Because what is evil is not of God, but what is of good is of God. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find maybe Gaius is in great difficulty. You know, because Demetrius, Diotrephes, he forbade people to be hospitable. And here you find Gaius was hospitable. So I do not know whether he was cast out or not. Probably he was. And John encouraged him, said, when you are in that kind of situation, how do you deal with it? You have to imitate good and not imitate evil. So, brothers and sisters, when authority is wrongly used, then your responsibility is to obey God rather than obey man. Submissive, but may not be obedient to man. You know, to God, we have to be 100% submit in attitude and obey in practice. But with man, who represents God, because they are man, therefore, if we are under authority, we can submit in attitude, but not necessarily obey if we have to obey God. Now, don't misunderstand it, because it doesn't please you, so you said, I do not need to obey. But it's a matter of obeying God or obeying man. Now, Gaius has to obey God. Even though he may be cast out, he has to obey God, not obeying man. So, this is another problem you'll find in the church there. Now, thank God, you know, for this letter, because otherwise, you know, when we have problems, we do not know how to do, what to do. And then you find in this letter, there's a third person being mentioned, Demetrius. Now, evidently, Demetrius must be one of those wandering preachers. He must be one of those whom God has sent to the churches. A prophet, maybe. An evangelist, maybe. A pastor or teacher, maybe. And evidently, he is the bearer of this letter. John wrote another letter. Not to the church, because the church has rejected under Diotrephes, but to Gaius. And probably this man is the bearer of this letter. And he is a servant of the Lord. And notice his character. He is recommended by all. Everyone who met him recommended him. He was recommended by the truth. He was faithful to the truth. And he was recommended by John. Now, with such kind of recommendation, I don't think you need to have any problem of being hospitable. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find this is another side. In other words, showing us that in this matter of hospitality, on the one hand, it is our duty. It is our privilege, our honor to do it. On the other hand, we do need to be discerning. And in discerning, not only we need to discern the doctrine side, but we also need to discern the character side. And if there's no problem with the doctrine, nor with the character, then, of course, it is that we should be hospitable to these people. Now, thank God for this letter, because it does show us fellowship in practice. Fellowship is not a theory. Fellowship is a life. It's daily life. It's something that we all can practice. And of course, brothers and sisters, you do not limit hospitality just to provide lodging. You do not limit hospitality just to provide food. Even you give a cup of cold water to one of the little ones, it is hospitality. And the Lord said, if you visit the sick, you're visiting the Lord. If you visit the prison, you are visiting the Lord. If you are clothing the poor, you are clothing the Lord. In other words, hospitality is very broad. Now, do nothing is just limited to food and lodging. it is very broad. You can be hospitable in many, many different ways. Just like it's already being practiced, thank God for that, you know. If some family has some problem, maybe some people sick, the wife is sick, then, you know, some other sisters cook some food for the family, or in the hospital send something there, or, you know, things like that, help babysitting, or with the elderly sisters, more they're long for them. Now, that's all hospitality. And all these are included. We can find areas of hospitality everywhere. The thing is, do we have such a heart? With a heart like the heart of God, hospitality, the opportunity for hospitality is never lacking. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do desire to have thy character characterizes us. Lord, we do acknowledge that we are small people. We need thee to enlarge us, that we may be kind, we may be generous, we may be hospitable, we may be all-embracing as thou art. O Lord, do create in us a heart like thine. And also do give us discerning, that we may know what to do and what not to do. That we may be a people who not only know the truth, but walk in truth. To the glory of God, in the name of our Lord Jesus.